gonna run again.
I like her. Much better. Oh, Mrs. Gandhi is not mine.
They're the super righteous types. The Indians drive me right up.
Sanctimonious stuff and everything that is.
We're a bunch of, you know, we discriminate against everybody.
Yeah, I never forget the dinner we gave Parker here just before they frankly invaded the beach Pakistan.
So that it
huge deal with the Russians.
I know.
That's involved in this thing.
I know. It's a real deal.
The energy people might be all for it, and the oil company for it, but we may want to grade our feet a bit about that because of foreign policy. So I would like it. I want to tell you that at this point, part of our discussion here, I know you're interested in pass on some of your observations directly to
on the organizational end of it.
Both
on substance as well.
Well, anything that you have, anything you want to well, any suggestions on organization address, but also on substance. Because we will have in place perhaps in a matter of 2 or 3 weeks trying to try to find a top person.
They head it up.
A top person.
The other fellow, Ethan Flanagan, has, I would say, he's a good back guy.
We need a creative guy who is not thinking just of one part of it. A creative guy who's thinking of the whole damn business. We got to have a very top-like guy in transportation.
Knows the area out there. He's
if you would have a talk with John Van Orr.
No, I will.
I would like to get a rest on your thoughts on the energy thing before we get in place on it.
You got 64 agencies in this thing, and it's
go ahead.
It's just
are you really scared to death about the Middle East?
Well, I'm really worried about it. I'm worried about the Persian Gulf.
Oh, sure.
See,
oh,
what the Russians have done is really moved over to Iraq. Now, Iraq has the second largest oil reserves in the world, which surprised me. Those are the classified figures. This is classified. The Saudis, the published figures are 150 billion barrels reserve. Ours is 40 in the United States. The true figure is 300 billion barrels. 300 billion. They've got more oil than all the world together, Mr. President.
Who?
The Saudis.
The Saudis have this apart from the Gulf States?
Yes, sir. 300 billion barrels of oil. They have more oil than the rest put together. And the next...
Why don't we go conquer?
Yeah, definitely. I'll tell you what,
too bad we don't have that. That's
all I'm saying. But there are only 5 million Saudis, and over 2.5 million are nomads. So they can only account for a couple million. But what I'm trying to say is, I guess, that as I see this picture out there, the whole Persian Gulf area is right, because in the Persian Gulf, you've got it. The oil of the world, and the Russians are moving now not to put a communist government as I see it, but they're moving to influence the economics, you see, so that they can shut the spigot off. And if they shut the spigot off, they can really raise hell. Now, one thing,
all they really need to, let's face it, the Russians are getting much more intelligent this way. All they need is a government like this, which must have been.
That's right, exactly.
They
want to influence the situation in Western Europe, Japan, to be able to, you know, put the screws on. Now, one recommendation that I would make is that, I don't know, you know, it's an impossible task, but I think the State Department ought to make a maximum effort to try to bring, and it's hard, the Shah and the Saudis together. They're the key.
I'll tell him.
Because this is the key. The Shah hates the Saudis, and the Saudis...
Why? Goddamn.
Well, it's racial, it's ethnic. The Iranians are proud of 2,500 years. The Arabs, it's an ethnic thing. Now, I think we have to get some kind of a cooperative arrangement in the Gulf, because Kuwait, in my judgment, which is a sitting duck, over half the people there are non-Kuwaitis, and the Saudis are sitting ducks. And I'm afraid of some kind of a coup. They attempted one, you know, before, but with all this film, Mr. President, let me give you a figure. By 1980, the annual take of the Saudis will be over $20 billion a year. And in the Gulf, it will run $60 billion a year, just in revenue. And our balance of payments deficit by 1980 will be between $17 and $20 billion. What was that? I just want to, you know, mention one word on energy, and I'll mention a word about the middle, about Central Europe.
Before you leave that, let me say one other thing, however. We have to face the fact that I also want to be a supporter, I am a supporter of the Israeli position, that the Israeli Arab conflict is one that gnaws at the very vitals of any viable policy we can have in that area, and that at some time we have got to, some way, work something out. Now, what the hell we can do, I don't know. Fortunately, the Shah is the most, I guess he still is, he's the most understanding of the Israeli position.
He is
pro. The Saudis are absolutely nuts on it.
Oh, well.
But, you know, this is the problem now, because you look at Algerians, the crazy Algerians, and needless to say, the Algerians, the Syrians, all the rest are around there. They surround them. Here's Israel in the middle. And we're all bad Israel.
Well, Mr. President, ask Mr. Aikens, who's over here with Flanagan, to give you those. I'd like for you to have those classified figures.
Aikens,
A-I-K-E-N. Yes, A-I-K-E-N. He's with Flanagan, working with Flanagan. I think you'd be, you know, I was shook by these classified figures. They're just devastating. Well, a word on, let me just throw out to you a few quick basic points on the on what I think we ought to do on the energy. Let's assume we work out the organization. I think we have to posture ourselves in such a way that we don't allow the Arabs to just, you know, shove the price way on through the roof. And they're going to keep it in the ground. They told me very candidly, and the Shah is in this way, but the Saudis will just keep it in the ground. I said, why the hell should we turn around? What better investment is there than keeping your oil in the ground? They're about six things I think that need to be done on a, you know, on a very large basis, which will help to influence the situation, because they do respect American science and technology. I'm talking now about a very large R&D effort in the fall. Gasification of coal. We've got a trillion tons of coal. Liquefaction. Reduce it to petroleum. Now this is all R&D. Oil shale. This thing has been kicking around. We've got a trillion barrels. The rock. You know that.
I've heard about it.
We're not, it's all screwed up. It's all screwed up. Third.
Part of it is the oil
company. Yeah, part of it. Yeah, well, the truth is that the oil companies have lagged on all this stuff. They're just, they're living in a dream world. They, you know. I know.
Oil companies only look to the end of their damn noses until just now.
That's right. And they're going to be national.
Now they're running big ads about, you know, energy and all this and that and the other thing. But they better get off their butts.
They've been dragging their ass for
right there. That's right.
Third thing is geothermal, energy-wise. And fourth is nuclear power. Fifth are incentives. This is an old fight to step up drilling. And sixth is Canada. Jesus, Canada's sitting up there. They got these huge gas reserves. And that gets into the LNG thing. And I think you ought to go real slow on that LNG business from Russia. And from, I know the Russians don't have anything else really to sell. And I know what the gate is. But, you know, imagine with the dependence we have. See, we're getting 27% of our oil now abroad. 1980, it'll be 50% by 1980 that we'll be bringing into the country. And then if we're going to get our natural gas from Algeria, it's about as dependable as yesterday. And if the Russians are going to be a source, it seems to be a mistake. But those are six quick little points that I'd make on that. One quick word about, we met with Tito and all the heads of state in Yugoslavia, Bulgaria, Romania, and Czechoslovakia. Tito has got real ethnic problems. He's a Croat. He's got the Serbs and the Slovenes, you know, and they decentralized. Well, they're getting tight control. No one knows. Everyone, you know, asks what happens when Tito goes. Tito, you know, he's 80 years of age, and God, he's tougher than hell, and he's 70. Yeah, and he's very friendly to you, and yeah, he got at 10 o'clock in the morning, he was throwing down the brandy. Anyway, he says, look at me, I'm healthy, don't worry about succession, you know, immortal. But there's, I asked him about Brezhnev, and the Brezhnev doctrine. He says, Brezhnev is flexible, he wouldn't answer the question. That's right. He's scared to death.
Right.
You got him right. And the moment the Russians are going to play that, orchestrate that thing, Tito dies, there's no real leadership taken, they're going to move. In my judgment, I may be wrong. He impliedly is aware of it. The Bulgarians are more Russian than the Russians.
I never know.
Oh, just. Bulgarians. I do it with the Czechs. They want doctors. and have them come over here. I think this is, you know, say, look, what the hell, you need managerial help. That's what they need. They need managerial help. Their enterprises are just in a mess in all of those countries. I wouldn't put it quite this way, but I would give special consideration to the Romanians.
You bet your life.
And spent 2 hours with Charles Chesky.
Funny guys.
Oh, yeah. And he runs that country, you know. It's more communist than Russia, internally. But, of course, there again,
he is basically very friendly to us.
He's friendly to us, and I think there's
a relationship, too.
Right. I think there ought to be a few extra goodies to him so that the others learn by example. The Bulgarians are hopeless. I mean, yeah, it's just, as I say, they're more Russia than the Russians. They're Slavs. You can't do a damn thing with them. The Czechs, I think we can do something with. People. And likewise with Romania, they really need technical help. And the interesting thing is that they all agreed on one point, that we lead the world in science and technology and economic output. And they're in a mess, and they want help. And I think it's people. I wouldn't get bogged down in a big, phony, because it is phony. They don't have anything really to say.
Trade. We talk about East-West trade. That's a lot of malarkey.
People will help us more ideologically, too, because they want to see the United States. And the more, it's the old story, the more of the freedom, the better. One last thing, of course, is our situation on defense and arms control. I'd just like to make a couple of general comments. I would like to see, I hope this Richardson thing will work out. What I'm worried about is that Elliot is going to bring in Jonathan Moore, and I'm on the Institute of Politics at Kennedy School of Government. And it's Jonathan Moore is one of the fellows up there. He's bad news. And it's that Jerry Wiesner syndrome. It's like Bill Miller that, got in with Cooper. I'm going to see Elliot tomorrow. He wants to talk to me. And I'm going to be very blunt with him, you know, because Elliot is just...
You see, Jonathan Moore and the other fellow we had that was with one of our great guys here...
Yeah.
Last year he was in Cambodia.
Yeah.
And frankly, I have told him, not quite directly, actually, I told Elliot that he could find them over there at AGW where they're supposed to be self-headed.
Yeah.
But the hell was in defense? I'm not going to ask.
Well, but they're not loyal. They're not.
They're not supportive of our policy.
They're not loyal to you, Mr. President.
Well, they're not going to be. And basically,
they
will not take the line. Now, Elliot is not a soft man. Elliot himself does come from that community, unfortunately, and he listened, but we've got to be sure that he isn't surrounded by people.
That's what I worry about.
They're cutting the hell out of us. Yeah. And we got your, but I would talk quite candidly with him. Now, the second follow is, would be strong.
Yeah, well, John Tower,
very strong.
Came by the office and talked to him, and I'm going to meet with Clements. And
I'll talk to him. You've talked to Clements in very frank terms and so forth. Now, let me see, he has some ideas, which I think are very good about, we've got to shake up defense like everything else. There are no sacred cows around here. We've got to get more for our money.
Oh, that's right. There's no doubt about that.
In all these areas. The other thing, but I will talk very candidly with Elliot about the whole subject. They just got the notice. One of these fellows can live with these, basically the Ivy League elite, and really believe be taken in by them on the way out.
Yeah,
it's because when the chips are down, they'll deserve them. Just
that's right. They'll cut their throats.
All the other crises. Suppose, for example, we get to a hell of a crisis over salt.
That's right.
We may have one. And now, there, your Secretary of Defense has got to be on your side. Out of the hard line,
right.
Rather than the soft line, see? Because the state guy will be on the softer line. Now, Laird, fortunately, you see, we had no problem there. Because
Laird did a good job.
Laird tilted it to the right,
Roger
tilted it to the left. And I
Delaware, Iowa,
Colorado,
and over a French.
You'll have an improvement transfer out there in Kentucky.
Well, Huddleston is a plus.
See, he'll be better than John Turner.
That's right.
You'll have a stronger, and Scott will be further to the right than he is.
Yeah. We won't have any trouble out of Georgia, North Carolina. Helms is very far right in North Carolina. He'll give you a bad time.
Yeah.
One other last thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to. Over there, but I think you'll make Stennis very happy. Stennis.
Blue is well liked, in other words.
Blue can help you on the Hill. I think you need one guy who's worked with the Democrats previously. Ken has never had any political affiliation.
No.
He was
a great friend, that's not all.
Yeah, Ken was regular Army, and he got retired. He only had his foot shot off in Korea. And he came up. He's a real nice guy, and he is loyal, and he knows the Army. He was a full colonel in the Army. And he has good contacts on the Hill, and he can be damn helpful. God knows the Defense Department needs it. And I would strongly recommend you seriously consider him, and I think Al Haig feels that way too. He knows him. And of course, Folky is there. If there is to be a change, Ken will be loyal to you. That's
right.
All I want to say. And I have no time for these guys.
Well, you know, they really should be loyal to you. It's a sort of a strange ethic that has developed these days that the people that really are supposed to get ahead of those that are going and chop the man down. You know, there's a little warrior. There's probably a hell of a lot less of a test on him later. From the Iliad, or the Odyssey, he pulled a beam on the gates of hell, and he's a height of one thing, and his heart better than another. And there's a lot of these sons of one thing. He pulled a beam, even on the gates of hell. He who hideth one thing in his heart and uttereth another. That's out of the Iliad, my little classic. It's a good one to remember. Hateful to be even under the gates of hell. He that hideth one thing in his heart and uttereth another. And then, there's just too many of them. And the story of the Acta and some of these other. Oh, I know what they did to us. I'll get in touch with John Conley and also with the
Lip Call John.
And John Erwin. And, you want to keep in touch with Al Haig and Henry or
Al is the best.
Well, Henry too, but Al
will know.
What's going on?
Will know that he knows it, and Henry knows too. But Al will follow up, as I told him. Our hard line is hell.
Henry's tied up in all this
and these other matters.
Now, I'll just keep in touch with him, but it's the same thing. Jack talking to Al is to me.
Right.
Very good.
He's terrific, by the way. I hate to lose him. I really do.
You ought to have him in and out. It's a waste for him to be over there pushing paper around for Abrams. You know, what the hell.
Abrams is a field guy.
Abrams is just a good division commander. That's all. He should be out running a tank.
Exactly.